So the talk's called The Body as a Roadmap of Awakening. And we just did a meditation on noticing this quality of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, or feeling tone in the body. And it's actually noticing that tone in the body that is this roadmap. So that's why I really wanted you to experience that practice. So just to check in, how did the practice go? Did it work? Did it not work? Was it confusing? Was it clear? Any clarification?
Just seemed like it was only the unpleasant that would draw my attention.
Uh-huh. So only unpleasant drew your attention.
Right.
Did you notice neutral ever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would try to go somewhere neutral too.
Good, good. So this is something that people can notice. As much as we want pleasure, we can have this real draw towards the unpleasant. And so, we have to actually sometimes work a little bit to notice that there's actually neutral. It's like the unpleasant has a louder volume, right, in the sensation level, so that we have to consciously clue into something that's neutral. So if you work with the breath in your meditation, that's generally considered to be neutral. And neutral is a very helpful meditation object because it's not creating a lot of drama, you know? You're not like, you know, tripping the life fantastic and getting lost in that or just totally freaking depressed. You know, there's just a kind of neutral thing, and your mind can really work on paying attention with neutral. So the neutral is a very helpful thing to notice in the body. Any other comments or questions, please?
I could feel that my breath is kind of pleasant.
Pleasant.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It feels good to breathe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So you're feeling a sense of pleasantness with your breath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same sensation that was unpleasant at first, after being with it for a while. He had some parts of it that were pleasant.
Ah, so when you were really with something unpleasant, you noticed it was more complex than the first pass. There actually were some pleasant parts of that.
Or the unpleasant.
Oh, that, did it shift? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can notice that sometimes. Mm-hmm. Did you notice yourself getting into debate? Well, that shouldn't be pleasant, should it? Or that shouldn't be unpleasant? Or was there any of that going on for you? No? Good. Good. Because that is one of the dangers of doing that, focus on pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. You sort of get into, oh gosh. Like I have a friend, he always thought he loved orange juice. And then he went on retreat. And it really bummed him out because he had to be honest with himself and notice unpleasant. Because it was actually a very, it's a strong flavor, right? Orange juice, very acidic. But he has this whole association with childhood and drinking it his whole life, and it's got to be pleasant, right, at somewhere in the process. But yeah, there was a little bit of pleasantness for him, but mostly unpleasant, and it really bummed him out. So we can get into that kind of thing with pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. So I'm glad that doesn't sound like anybody's experience.
The thing that happens for me when trying to notice feeling tone, to more sort of intentionally tune into that, is that I'll get involved in this distinction between feeling tone itself and my response to it.
Yes.
And basically how that can actually affect feeling tone, or my experience of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, is what is my response to,
yes,
to feeling tone itself. Like, do I begin to push away, you know, craving, aversion kind of thing to whatever my response to feeling tough.
Yes, so
our, I can actually affect it.
Sorry. Yes, so our response to feeling tone complicates the matter. What we need to make sure to do is to notice the difference. We can have unpleasantness in the body without the reaction of aversion. In fact, we can have a reaction of curiosity or interest when we're being mindful. We can even be grateful sometimes when there's unpleasant, because if it's, you know, maybe not when it's really strong, but if it's kind of medium, it's actually pretty easy for the mind to kind of be present and concentrated with that. So our reaction to unpleasant isn't predetermined. And so what we really need to do is notice the difference between the sensation and its feeling tone versus our reaction to it. Two different things. Okay, so this focus on feeling tone is bedrock. It's so fundamental. And so the power of learning mindfulness within the Buddhist context is, the Buddhist context is about freeing us, truly freeing us in this mind-body system. And the Buddha said that when we're mindful, he pointed out four areas of focus. There's the body, which is obvious. There's the mind, which is obvious. There's the teachings within Buddhism. We kind of look for the structure of Buddhist teachings in our experience. For instance, the Four Noble Truths or the Five Hindrances or this and that. That's another whole area the Buddha identified. So that's three of the four. And body-mind is very obvious. Kind of bringing in Buddhist teachings into that seems, you know, in the Buddhist context, obvious. So just as important as these three, the fourth area of mindfulness is feeling tone. We want to be, as much as we're noticing body, as much as we're noticing mind, thoughts, emotions, etc., we need to be noticing feeling tone, because that is where all the trouble starts. And the Cookie Monster will illustrate our trouble. But first, I like to say, 2,500 years ago, the Buddha-to-be sat under a tree and solved your problem. And he solved my problem, and he solved his problem. What is your problem? What is your basic problem? It's the same as my basic problem. And I'm being very presumptuous here. Your problem is, you base your happiness on pleasure. You don't know, and I don't know, that we can actually be happy whether our experience is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. The essence of Dharma, of the Buddhist teachings, is this unassailable happiness. This happiness is actually based on reality. We don't really like reality. And the Cookie Monster shows us why. This is sort of a humorous take on the famous painting by Hakusai of the wave and the small people in the boat in the ocean with the mountain in the background. So it comes out of the Japanese Zen tradition. But this cartoon, I don't even know who did this. The Cookie Monster is the wave, big cookie in the wave, and Cookie Monster says, "Today, me will live in the moment, unless it's unpleasant, in which case, me will eat a cookie." That's our basic problem. We argue with reality because we only want the pleasant cookie, and yet reality dishes out all three, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. Thoughts, sensations, sounds, every experience we have in a mind-body is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And we only want the pleasant. We only want 1/3 of the pie, and that's where all the trouble is. That's why our minds are restless. That's why we suffer. It's that simple, and it's, you know, if you really examine your experience, I can't tell you, you know, what you'll find, but I think there's a pretty good hunch this is what you'll find. We need to make peace with pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. We don't get out of it. No matter how famous, how rich, how good-looking, how young you are, which is, you know, everything we want in this culture, your life will still be pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. And yeah, we can build a life that has more pleasantness in it. But it would be pretty hard to go through a day where you don't have all three. Even on the best day of your life, it's still going to be a day of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. So the Buddha was really blunt and really simple. This is the issue of being human. And there is a solution. The solution is mindfulness. If you can not interfere, as we were just doing in our mindfulness of body, and let sensation be what it is, we are making peace with pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. We replace reacting to it, as you said, with being mindful of it. We all know we can be mindful of a little itch, you know, something mildly unpleasant. Instead of scratching it, we pay attention to it. And then, you know, over time, the itch just kind of goes away. Or maybe it just comes and goes really quickly. So that is, again, the essence of the Dharma path, is replacing reacting to unpleasant, pleasant and neutral, with being mindful of it. This is the path of freedom. If you don't care if your next interaction is pleasant or neutral, you're free. If you don't care if your next day at work is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, you're free. If you don't care if the next moment is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, you're free. This is what we mean by freedom. This is what we mean by awakening. It's one way of thinking about it. The suffering that we experience is not in the pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. The suffering is our reaction to it, our quarrel with reality. We want the pleasant, we don't want the unpleasant, and then we ignore the neutral. That argument with reality is what makes our minds so stirred up and restless and not peaceful. So this is not mindfulness light, L-I-T-E. You know, this is mindfulness, very ordinary but very profound. If we can really investigate pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral, and just sit with a little bit of unpleasantness, we are then, that's a microcosm where we actually then become more tolerant of it in our lives. So this is a very powerful focus for meditation, feeling tone. So it's, let me just stop with that much and invite your input again. Responses. Please.
It can be a bit difficult to not be distracted by our thoughts or starting to argue with them.
Starting to argue with your thoughts.
Yeah.
It's very easy, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yes. But it feels much better if you just can tell if it's unpleasant or pleasant or neutral, and then just be fine with it.
Yeah. And the way I like to look at it is we're doing this already so much in our lives, arguing with everything, that how about just for the 30 minutes or 20 minutes or 10 minutes we're meditating, we get to have a break from it. We get to just be. Nothing to figure out, nothing to plan, nothing to fix. We'll do all that by accident, but not on purpose. In meditation, we just let go. And what a relief. And then, you know, you don't have to worry about being irresponsible because you're, it's going to come find you the minute you get up, maybe. Okay. So, I think, you know, it's about halftime. We'll take a break. Just a couple of announcements. Please.
When you talk about the tone, is that the level of discomfort or the comfort?
No, and I just repeat for the mic, does feeling tone mean the level of comfort or discomfort? Actually, no, that's the reaction to feeling tone. Unpleasantness by itself is just unpleasant. Feeling uncomfortable is a mental reaction. We can be comfortable with discomfort. Does that make sense?
I believe I'm getting confused with language.
Yeah.
So when you talk about tone, what is the meaning of that?
Feeling tone means pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral.
All right.
And you can be comfortable with unpleasant. At least the way I use the words. So, and these are just words, but the most important thing is there's this quality of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, and then how we react to it. Two different things. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so our series is working with the body. Tonight is the body is this roadmap of awakening through this awareness of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. And our body, in Boulder, maybe not as much as a lot of our world, but we can be very cut off from our bodies. Boulder's pretty body-focused, as we know. But one thing that is clearly happening everywhere is we are getting so into our heads through our devices. The tablet, the phone, the computer, it's this really, really strong conditioning of being right, you know, sort of through the eyes, turbo focus, really up in our head. Everything's getting more complex and more busy. And, you know, it's just the way it is. It's the way we're doing it in our culture. But it's important to remember that we need to counterbalance that with just getting into our bodies and getting out of our minds. We're practicing now a lot of just mind, and you know, we take our phones home with us now from work or on vacation, and it's hard to get a break, isn't it? So the Buddha talked about the mind, the thinking mind, our busy mind, as being like a monkey swinging from one vine to another, like a monkey. We grab one thought and then another thought and another thought. And so, like many of the Buddhist teachings have been now validated scientifically, not validated, that's the wrong word, shown, demonstrated in the scientific view, that little fact of the Buddhist has been proven by science with this cartoon. The doctor is saying to a guy whose head is bandaged up, "We found this in your brain, and it's the little organ grinder monkey." So we have monkey mind. Our minds are busy, but we're making our minds really busy by our kind of more speedy, more complex culture. So I always like to poke fun of it. I do it probably as much as the next person, but here's another one. You just see the picture. Everyone's walking along, looking at their phones as they walk through a really pretty college campus. What's the point of being afraid of the zombie apocalypse when you're already a zombie? Or a little happy couple walking down the beach, hand in hand, they're just getting to know each other, and one is saying to the other, "I can't wait to see what you're like online." And maybe you'll hear this in your next meditation class. "In your mind's browser, clear your cache. Now, delete your history. Now, navigate to a blank web page." we're so in our heads, but the problem with being in our heads is we're making it all up. We're thinking about things. Right? We think about something. We're not actually in the actual thing. We're just making it up. So we never really know what's coming next when we're all up in our heads. If you think you know what's coming next, you know, good luck. Because we often don't know. This story was in The Week a few years back. The News Digest, The Week. A veteran Australian pilot likely owes his life to a huge pile of chicken manure. Pilot Ben Buckley was attempting to land a vintage 1910 light aircraft when it veered off the runway and headed for disaster. So you're in your vintage plane, you're trying to take off, and it goes off the runway, and you're just like, my goose is cooked, right? Well, instead, the plane rammed into a 20-ton heap of chicken droppings piled up there. And Buckley said of the manure, there was a bit of give in it. I'm still a bit stiff and sore, though, I can tell you. We don't know. If we're in our bodies, it's really simple and clear, right? We can know things, like just know right now. What's the obvious sensation in your body? Just notice. Notice how simple it is. Pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, whatever it is, you can know this. It's not mysterious. It's really simple and straightforward. It's a relief to not be in our minds so much. And getting in our body really has a lot to teach us on so many levels. One of the ways that, and I mentioned it in the very beginning, if you want to know how you're doing, don't ask your mind. Because what's likely often in our mind is, well, I should be like this, right? The body will tell you the truth. Ask your body, how am I doing? So ask yourself right now, how am I doing? And let the body tell you, meaning, what sensations are obvious in your body? Sometimes our sensations are just purely physical, but sometimes they're related to our state of mind. The body will tell you you're in a social situation. You ask yourself how you're doing. Oh, I'm good. I'm good. It's all good, you know. But then your gut is clenched, and your gut tells you anxious. But our personality doesn't want to admit that. So the mind is tricky. The body is the truth teller of your experience. And when we key into sensation, we're coming out of our personality. Mindfulness is the least conditioned part of you. Sensation is next. Buzz, pulse, throb, tingle, right? That's just nature. So it really changes us when we start paying attention to us as nature. Our body tells us the truth. And we need to build our lives around those truths. Another thing getting in touch with our body does is it gets us out of our cultural conditioning. We're really hard on our bodies in this culture. God forbid, you know, if you're a few pounds overweight. God forbid if you're a few years over 22. You know? So this is really cool. If you would tune into your body and feel the sensation of being old. Go ahead. Feel that sensation. Guess what? You can't. There's no sensation that says old. There might be a sensation ache. There might be a sensation pain. But that's not old. Old is an idea. Okay, now if you would, close your eyes and feel the sensation of being fat. You can't. There's no sensation that says fat. Sensations are buzz, pulse, throb, tingle. You can't feel old. You can't feel overweight. And so one real refuge in our relationship with our bodies is to come into sensation and out of our conditioning, our cultural conditioning about our bodies. We're so hard on ourselves. Well, guess what? None of that is in buzz, pulse, throb, tingle. So we get a real break. We can just relax and not be hard on ourselves. It's really helpful. So many other reasons that we emphasize the body so much in the mindfulness world. The one I'm really honing in on tonight is this one of insight. Through being aware of sensation in our body, we have insight into how our experience works. And that insight helps us be more happy. One of the insights we have, and some of you have alluded to this, when you're aware of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, you start realizing, whoa, all three are going on. Maybe for some of you, you know, it's easier to notice unpleasant. But if you really start noticing closely, you're going to find neutral. You're going to find unpleasant. I hope you'll find some pleasant too. So that's one of the things we learn right away. It's like, oh, I only want the pleasant, but that's not my experience of my body. I get all three. And we have to, like, make friends with that because that's our experience. So sometimes you'll notice, as you said, Jim, that the quality can change. You're with a certain sensation. It might start out unpleasant, and it could change to neutral or pleasant. So I only want this pleasantness, but feeling tone changes. And that's an insight you have, and you start realizing, right, it actually isn't quite working. Even like a really pleasant meal, super nice while it lasts. The problem with eating that delicious salted caramel mochaccino, whatever, you know, chocolate mint swirl cupcake or whatever, problem is, it's only good as long as it lasts. But to eat it, you have to use it up, and then it's gone. And you start having the insight of like, yeah, pleasant is great while it lasts, but it's not actually that reliable. Now, I don't want this to be a buzzkill, because until we really know there's an alternative, I would really encourage you to base your happiness on pleasure or meaning. You know, that's another way of finding happiness, is through meaning, of course. It isn't always pleasure. But this practice is giving you a third alternative, that you can be happy even when you're having a bad day. A bad day at work, a bad day with your sweetie. Bringing in mindfulness, this curiosity about what's happening, really helps. So we start to really have insight. Oh, right, I can't actually only have pleasantness. I have to be okay with life doing the dance of feeling tone. Another insight you can have through the body is you can be with something that feels pleasant, but then you'll notice part of it is pleasant and part of it is unpleasant. Part of it is neutral. That actually when we go into it, it's more particulate, more fine grained than our ideas. And then that's another way of realizing, oh, right, this feeling tone is marbled into everything. I don't get just pleasant. I'm going to get a lot of each. So this practice, again, very ordinary but very transformative, because we start seeing things like this. So that's on the micro level we get these insights through working with the body. On the macro level, then the body is teaching us mortality, change. We do really well, we're really healthy, it's feeling great, and that's all pleasant. But then the body goes into unpleasant, we get sick. And then the body reminds us we're mortal. We have friends, you know, who go through death. And when we're not spiritual, mortality is kind of a bummer, right? When we're spiritual, if we bring awareness into our lives, then that's, in the Buddhist tradition, that's called a heavenly messenger. Mortality is not a bummer. It's a heavenly messenger. It's telling us, get your priorities straight. Life is short, maybe, or long, but either case, it's uncertain. And we better really prioritize what matters. It's a huge wake-up call when we get conscious. It's actually benevolent because it makes us look deeper. So all of that is why we emphasize the body so much. And then the last thing is what, title of the talk is this body as this roadmap for awakening. And in the Buddhist view, meditation alone is not enough for awakening. We have to really look at everything we do, our actions of body, our physical actions, our actions of speech, and our actions of mind, what we think and feel. We can actually let all of that serve awakening. So through our actions, we want to not harm and cause benefit. Both things actually help us awaken. And then through our speech, again, we want to practice what is helpful and not harmful. And same with our thoughts. And the Buddha used the word wholesome or skillful. Thoughts that actually lead your mind to become quiet and aware and help you be are wholesome or skillful states. And those that don't are unwholesome or unskillful. So what would you guess are the wholesome or skillful states that really help your mind come into more peace, more ease, more presence or love? What helps?
The Brahma Viharas.
The Brahma Viharas. So why don't you unpack that in case people don't know all those.
Loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, equanimity.
Mm-hmm. So those are in the Buddhist tradition as really wholesome states. Kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, equanimity. And all of those are very conducive to the mind, getting more mindful, more loving. What else?
Gratitude.
What else?
Non-judging.
Mm-hmm.
Accepting,
non-judging, maybe different words, but something similar. Mm-hmm.
And
Allow, right. Mm-hmm. Not argue with reality, but allow reality. Yeah. In essence, and then we can add in a lot of other things, generosity, for instance, patience, being truthful. These are all within the tradition as being really conducive to waking up in addition to mindfulness. In essence, the qualities that are unwholesome, unskillful, or greed, aversion, delusion. And greed meaning only wanting the pleasant, aversion, not wanting the unpleasant, delusion, ignoring the neutral. So those are the three root states that actually cloud the mind, stop you from being clear. The opposite, then, we could say, you know, and there's something in between, but if we go to the extreme, the opposite of greed is generosity. The opposite of judging or aversion is kindness, love. And the opposite of delusion is actually being aware, being mindful. So in essence, generosity, kindness, and mindfulness are the three qualities that will really serve us in the mind getting more happy and more simple and more quiet. So we're not going to dwell on this, but if you want a really, you know, very full list of what are considered wholesome and unwholesome states, there you go. And the first page is from something called the Abhidhamma, which I won't go into. It's a very detailed psychology, and a lot of this won't make sense, but a lot of it will. So you can see actions of body, speech, and mind, and that's in the Abhidhamma. And then there's some other, this is all out of the traditional Pali canon. And then there's other sets, and one of them is what Robert mentioned, the Brahmaviharas, or divine abodes of kindness, compassion, etc. Many, many things. Actually, sorry, it isn't the first page, that's the Abhidhamma. It's the third page. So a lot of these are common sense. But everything on the left actually helps the mind over time, if we strengthen it, get happy. Everything on the right really clouds your mind. So that is a very, that's a life teaching to digest. Now, so I want to kind of bring it home. How is the body a roadmap of awakening? Through the quality of pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral, I'm going to make a general statement which will definitely have exceptions. Generally speaking, wholesome qualities in the body are pleasant. Unwholesome qualities are unpleasant. Generally speaking. So this takes some unpacking. Some of this is obvious. Okay? Please.
Yeah.
Okay.
What does harming with sexuality mean?
Well, it can be the obvious, like rape. Yeah. But it can be, you know, many other subtle gradations. Sex addiction, you know, I mean, there can be all kinds of ways we can harm with sexuality.
Okay.
Yeah. Please.
Another question about if you have pain in your feet after, because you have had an injury, and then
yes,
you're keeping on focusing on that pain.
Yes.
Isn't that, like, unnecessary? Isn't that, shouldn't you instead?
Okay. So the question is, again, for the mic, if we have pain in our foot, is it, and all we do is focus on it, is that problematic?
Yeah.
Is that, depends. If we're being really and only mindful, it can be really helpful to be with pain, because we can learn that we can actually be with unpleasant experience. Now, we would never recommend doing something sitting that's going to cause injury, right? So if you're doing something with your sitting and you're working with pain, But, you know, you get up and like 2-3 minutes later you're still in pain because of how you sat. I would not recommend it.
Yeah. And I also mean, like, if you had an injury and then it's over, but and you actually it doesn't hurt anymore, but you're like used to the feeling of pain there. And that's kind of a sensation that is like not there anymore.
Yes. So the idea is conflicting with the actual experience. If you actually feel it now and there's no injury, then you'll notice the leg is fine, but my mind keeps overlaying that it's not fine as a memory.
Yeah.
Right? And there's that whole phantom limb thing. I mean, there's the mind-body thing is very weird, so we won't go there.
Yeah.
But right? But basically, the more we're in our body, the more we're out of our ideas about the body.
Yeah.
And then our ideas have to catch up because there's new data every single time we sit. The body's new and fresh and giving us something, you know, new data. So generally, this is, you know, a really important take home. The way our body guides us towards awakening is through the qualities of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. Wholesome states tend to be pleasant. Unwholesome states tend to be unpleasant. So, aversion, right? Aversion is any rejection of experience. So it isn't just judgment, right? It's fear, irritation, jealousy, many, many versions of aversion, anger. What would you guess that feels like in the body when you're really pissed? On the feeling tone level, how would the body feel, pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral when you're really angry?
Unpleasant. I mean, well, unless you're,
mostly you would guess unpleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really check this out next time you're angry. Feel the body and see if that's true. How about fear? What are you going to feel in the body? Of course, the thoughts are going to be unpleasant. We already, you know. But what would you guess the body's going to feel like?
Neutral.
Unpleasant. So you have fear experience where the body's neutral?
I was just thinking right now, imagining that the thoughts are more negative than the
actual
feeling.
Right. And you could open to the sensation, and then what you would need to investigate is the sensation neutral or unpleasant, and then is my reaction to it one that involves a neutral or unpleasant, you know, quality in the mind. So both. You would want to look at both. But, you know, the butterflies in your belly, pleasant or unpleasant?
Really unpleasant.
Really unpleasant. A constricted heart area when you're scared. Yeah. An elevated pulse. Sweaty palms, right? Might be neutral. You know, check it out. Again, so this isn't always true, but as a general rule of thumb, generally, aversive states are unpleasant. Now, so let's switch it now. What about something like desire? Is desire an unpleasant or pleasant experience?
Unpleasant.
And would you... Let's try something. Let's think of a really, really, like your favorite dish, okay? Whatever that is. Just if you would close your eyes for a sec. And picture this dish. Actually, if you can, see it in your mind's eye. Notice if the image is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And and really let yourself have this desire, if you can. Want this thing. Picture yourself just about to eat it. And now let your attention be physical. In the body, what's the experience of desire, of wanting this thing? And in the body, is it pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? Okay. So, let's talk about the image of this dish. You don't want to name your dish? Just what were you imagining?
The sun.
The sun?
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to eat the sun.
No, not the sun, lasagna.
Like, oh, lasagna, thank you. All right, lasagna. And so the image of lasagna, pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral?
Pleasant.
Pleasant, good. Were you getting smells too, or just image?
Just image.
Yeah, okay. Okay, anyone else?
For me, it's Indian food in general. And
Indian food?
Anyone but I noticed for me, like in some cases, the image of Indian food is unpleasant for me. But
oh, the image is unpleasant. Okay.
The,
were you, flavors. And again, I didn't prompt smells, but did any smells come in? Or?
The smells are very pleasant.
Very pleasant, mm-hmm.
It does induce in me, and I have noticed this, like in anticipation just on the way to India, because I love Indian food, that I'm desiring it so much that it's a state of, like a sense of lack or disturbance that is actually unpleasant.
And is the unpleasantness in the image or the smells
body
or the
sensation?
The body.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the unpleasantness then is in the body.
But it's in anticipation of something that is going to be a very pleasant experience for me.
Right.
That's why I'm
right.
Literally craving it.
Yes. So we crave something we don't have. It can show up as unpleasantness in the body. Because we don't have it, right? And the word desire means, or the word to want something, to want, has two meanings. It means to desire something, but it also means to lack, right? To want is to lack. So this can be the experience of desire, that it's unpleasant in the body. It's tense because we're actually, you know, you're driving there, kind of not there yet, wanting to get there, and it's tense in the body. So with desire in particular, it's more complicated than our minds usually tell us. We have this, it can be a very pleasant image or imagined smells or whatever. But the body experience might be a feeling of tension because of the lack of it. We don't have it yet. We're lacking it. And that's tense. So I can't tell you how your experience is, of course. I'm just suggesting to look for that and see. Check it out for yourself. Is desire in the body pleasant or unpleasant? Usually the image will be pleasant. Otherwise, why would we want it? Something about it is pleasant. But the body experience can contradict that. And now desire is not always unwholesome, because there's those desires of we want to help, we want to serve, we might have a kind of a, in the tradition, what we call aspiration, which is like going for something that really matters to you. That might be a desire for you that's actually pleasant. Maybe. But check this all out. Generally speaking, the unwholesome might be pleasant in the mind, but it tends to be unpleasant in the body. It tends to be tense. Another example is anger. Have you ever really enjoyed your anger? You never had righteous indignation. I'm so right. They're so wrong. Doesn't it feel good? It can. Anger is similar to desire, can be a time, an experience where the thoughts are kind of juicy and delicious. If we're actually admitted to ourselves, we kind of like it. And yet, prickly or tense or tight in the body is unpleasant. So again, it isn't the mind that's the roadmap there. It's the body. The body tends to be the roadmap. So again, just to review, wholesome states conduce towards awakening. Unwholesome cloud the mind. Wholesome states in the body tend to be pleasant. Unwholesome states tend to be unpleasant in the body. So that's why it's the body we look to, not the mind, for that map. Comments or questions?
Going back to anger.
Yes.
Yeah, for me, like when I can release that energy, it feels good. And like being able to kind of get it out.
Yes.
So that part can be pleasant.
Yes.
But not the thoughts, really.
Yes. And then it depends, right, how we get it out.
Oh, yeah, that's another story.
Right. So if we're getting it out in a way that isn't harmful, it might be completely unadulterated pleasant. But if we actually act out the anger as a way to get rid of it because we don't like unpleasant, so we have to express it because we're trying to get rid of it, but we really harm somebody in the process, that might not be so pleasant. I mean, again, it depends, but yeah. And again, this isn't to be simplistic because anger has many different qualities. It can have a real protective quality, which can feel very wholesome. It's not about, like, you know, being aggressive. Anger and aggression aren't the same thing. It can be more protective, you know, or it can mobilize us to action. Right, so anger isn't always just some negative force. So check it out for yourself. But let how your body feels be kind of a guide.
So using that example of anger, like, yeah, how do you know when your sensation tones are like right or wrong? And those are probably aren't the, it's not the,
yeah,
best language, but yeah.
It's a complicated question.
Yeah.
It's not a simple answer, but
yeah,
it, by that, when you say, are the sensations right or wrong, like, uh-huh, do you mean sort of how to be guided by them?
I mean, like, you know, you have the, like, is the sensation you're having in your body the correct? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a, yeah.
Let me just say something and see if this addresses. If it's unpleasant in the body, mm-hmm, you might not want to feed that dog.
Yeah.
If it's pleasant in the body, now, you know, again, there are exceptions, of course, you might want to feed that dog. Especially when the pleasantness is in relationship. So generally our, think about it, being generous, being patient, being kind, that's going to feel good in the body, right? And it's not like all pleasure in the body is necessarily going to help the mind be awake. We can get really lost in the pleasure too. It's more to use that feeling tone in the body as a starting place. and then really investigate, huh, yeah, is this something I really want to give energy to or not? But if we go for the body first, it's a really good starting place. Yeah. You're in it. You know, I can just give an example from my own life. I'm in some sort of little spat with my partner. And, you know, I'm wanting to justify myself, defend myself. I know for a fact if I tune into that, it's going to be unpleasant. It's going to be tight. I'm going to be braced energetically, you know, elbows out energetically. This unpleasantness, huh? Do I really want to feed that dog? You know? It's sort of like that. All right. Let's end with some sitting. We'll do about 10 minutes of sitting and call it a night.